When we sing that song, it's a reference to what's going on in heaven. So we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When he rose from the dead, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is at right now. In Revelation 4 and 5, it speaks about what's going on in heaven. There's praise and worship before the throne of God. So if we were to die today, we'd be in the midst of that heavenly worship with Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But there's another transaction that still needs to take place. There's a scroll. It's the title deed to this earth. There is going to be the outpouring of the wrath of God during the tribulation period. There's a title deed to the earth, and it only can be opened by Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And when they're looking in heaven, who's worthy to open it? As John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's a powerful testimony for us today. As you're standing, we want to reference our Bible text for today out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Matthew 28, 1 through 10. By the way, as you leave here today, if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles up front and all around. Please, if you would like a Bible, please take one. You may say, I have one, and that could be true, but you just don't know where it is. Take one home with you. Read it. Matthew 28, verse 1 through 10, the scriptures say, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he's risen. Just as he said, come see the place where the Lord lays. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you in Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. They went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them. And Jesus said, rejoice. So they came and they held Jesus by the feet and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, go, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren, go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Father in heaven, it has been a blessed day. Early morning to right now. From all the people that have been helping just behind the scenes and to make things happen, and the voices, and the servants, and your word, and the children, what a blessing. This last part, Lord, we pray your blessing over the teaching of your word. Open up our hearts to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In that song we just sang, he is worthy. To repeat a few of the stanzas, it says, does the Father truly love us? And the answer is, he does. We need to know today that we are loved by the Father. It says, does the Spirit move amongst us? We would not be here if the Holy Spirit wasn't here with us. And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? He loves you, and he holds you, and he never forsakes you. And the Bible says nothing can take you out of the hand of our great Savior and Lord. It says, does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. He's dwelling within you through the Holy Spirit. We're going to go home to be with him someday. Two questions I added. They weren't in the song. Does Jesus want to save you today? And I can say confidently, he does. And does Jesus want to set us free from the penalty and power of sin? He does. Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as in the sea And all of them I heard saying before the throne of God, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Jesus who sits on the throne. He is the Lamb. And we thank God. May He be glorified today. There's some things I want to share with you. During this last year, the coronavirus, it's caused many things to be shut down, many things to be canceled. Many things you wanted to do, you couldn't do. It prevented a lot of activity from happening. And many times you literally felt just claustrophobic with life. But I want to share with you some things I wrote. Things that coronavirus cannot do. Coronavirus cannot break the bonds of love that Jesus Christ has for you. No way. It cannot quarantine a life of faith that you place in the risen Savior. The coronavirus cannot delete the peace of God that surpasses all understanding from your life. It cannot terminate the joy found in all of your godly friendships. The coronavirus cannot cancel our hope in the faithfulness of God every day. Can't do it. It cannot restrain the courage of those who speak boldly for God. It cannot steal the blood-bought gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Coronavirus, you're powerless. You cannot mask the testimony of every Spirit-filled believer. And it cannot weaken the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I thank God for that. We're here because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to proclaim the greatness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today and what it means since He has risen from the dead. He provides salvation for us. He provides victory over sin, but He also provides victory over fear, and we need to hear that today. And He wants to impart the great joy. The joy of the Lord will be our strength. Truthfully, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it would be foolish for us to be here today. There'd be no reason. The only reason we're here is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and He's alive, and He's the living God. He is not like the spiritual leaders that have come and gone throughout the years. I can say with certainty, Confucius, Buddha, Mohammed, Darwin, and a long line of others, they're in the grave and their bodies are decaying. Jesus Christ, His grave is empty. I've been to Jerusalem. I walked inside of an empty tomb. It's been empty for 2,000 years, and it will remain empty because He's not there. He is risen. He's risen indeed. What did it take? It took Jesus Christ. It says that He was forsaken by the Father, and He was forsaken so that we can be forgiven. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, what a blessing. And as you see by what I'm wearing, I believe that Jesus Christ is essential. And when I was told that the church wasn't essential, nothing hit me harder than that which was proclaimed. And I ask God for forgiveness, for in any way have I ever misrepresented you as a pastor in some way, taking away any significance. Forgive me, because the church is essential. Jesus is essential. You know why? Because the church is the body of Christ. So if Jesus is essential and the body of Christ is the church is essential. And the church is made up of people. The church is not a name or a building or a denomination. The church, its name means the called out ones, called out to follow Jesus. So if Jesus is essential and the body of Christ is essential and the church is made up of the body of Christ, my friends, you are essential. You are essential. That's just a logical progression of biblical facts. And that's the way that the Lord has made it. He died. His blood was poured out. He bought us. He's given us salvation. He's the one that makes our life essential. I've been thinking about Jesus, and I wrote about him in the past, about some things that I think, just trying to put it in context for the time in which we live, regarding Jesus and why I consider him to be the great and only and true living God. There's none like him. Let me share with you what I wrote. With no military, he has conquered the will of more people than all the generals the world has ever seen. With no money, he has authority over all earthly possessions. With no advertising, he's internationally known. With no manipulation, he loves people before they love him. With no PhD, he's a genius. With no MBA, he manages the world's largest organization. With no diplomatic office, he negotiates world peace. With no medical license, he heals thousands. With no publishing house, volumes of his words and works are written in every library throughout the world. With no royalties, his name is used in almost every movie produced. With no media interviews, he's the most talked about person who ever lived. With no record labels, more songs have been written about him. With no museums, more works of art reflect his life. With no speaking engagements, he furnishes the most themes spoken about each week. And with no sequel, the very first book published in the world is still the number one bestseller. With no general contractor, more schools, hospitals, and orphanages were built in his name. With no marketing, he directs the most giving to the poor and needy throughout the world. With no Oval Office, he leads millions of people to do the right thing every day. Listen, we cannot pretend that this Jesus doesn't exist. We cannot pretend that Jesus doesn't influence history. And we cannot pretend that this Jesus doesn't deserve the fullness of our love and devotion and surrender. Jesus is the most essential and influential person that has ever lived on this earth. It's Jesus. As I've stated before, all of human history is dated by this day, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All of human history was known as BC, before Christ, and AD, in the year of the Lord. Our fanciful professors are changing the second to mean kind of the modern era, but I think it's error, E-R-R-O-R, error. It's a huge mistake. It's a huge mistake. Let's not change history when it comes to Jesus Christ. Everything that happened in the world before his death, burial, and resurrection is called before Christ. That's all world history. And everything that has happened since the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we're living in the year of the Lord. And we're waiting for Christ to come for his church. And that's exciting to know that. Do you know him? He's the eternal God who came to earth to die on a cross for your sin, for my sin, and for the sins of the world. Why? So we could be forgiven and spend eternity in heaven with him. It's crazy times right now. But the greatest story still is the greatest account of all time, that God loves you so much that he died in your place. He took the judgment that you and I deserve. Even nations design their own sovereign deities. They have since the beginning. And they do it in the name of God. What is our nation doing? In the name of God, our nation legislates ungodly laws to make life, to take life, to change life, and to pervert the purposes of life that are designed by God Himself. Jesus is essential, and we're never changing that record of Christ. Jesus does not stand in a long line of spiritual masters. He stands alone. He's the eternal God who came to earth in human flesh. He is not some wannabe religious leader. He declared himself to be the great I Am. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And the religious leader said, for that comment, for you being a man, making yourself out to be God, that's blasphemous. You're going to be put on a cross for that. Well, the way to heaven is wide enough to include you and me, yet narrow enough to exclude all other designer gods, made-up deities. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. This is the absolute truth. I believe in the absolute truth of God's word. For those that are offended by that, that's their problem. Because they say, you can't believe in absolute truth. And the fact is, they contradict themselves in their very statement because they're absolutely sure that you cannot believe in absolute truth. Do you understand that? That's how the world is. We believe in the absolute truth. There is no other Savior. There is no other salvation. There is no other way. How insulting that is to Jesus Christ. He was broken and praying before he went on the cross. He was in the garden. He was sweating as though it were drops of blood through the intensity of this time. Would you like to know his prayer? He said, Father, if this cup, and that means the coming suffering and crucifixion, if this cup can pass, in other words, God the Son speaking to God the Father, if there is some other way, if this cup can pass, but he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And he did for us what we could not do for himself. So anyone who proclaims that there is some other way, they're mistaken and they're lost, and lost for all eternity. I wrote some thoughts down thinking about Jesus, thinking about what he's done. During his life on earth, many opened their condescending mouth against Jesus. They called Jesus a devil, a drunkard, a blasphemer. They even said that he's an illegitimate child. He would be beaten beyond recognition, crowned with skull-piercing thorns, nailed to a cross, and a spear went through his heart. And listen to this. Instead of prosecuting his persecutors, he extended an eternal pardon for all their sins. The offended offered forgiveness for all the sins of the world. And since his resurrection from the dead, the misrepresentation of Christ, the blasphemous words, and perversion of his life continue in full application to this very day. The name of Jesus cannot be used publicly in prayer, but it's acceptable to openly profane his name when you're not praying. He is our insulted Savior who willingly gave his life as a ransom to save the world from eternal condemnation. The most powerful proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ today is your life. The life of a believer. the life of a man or woman or boy or girl who's asked Jesus for forgiveness and has allowed God into your life and your heart and your world. And God's doing a transforming work in you, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your will. And you are a different person. And you realize that your life isn't about yourself anymore. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Him crucified. It's about giving glory to Him. Your life is the greatest living testimony that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So much so that the Bible says you and me and us are living epistles of God. What a testimony. Easter is proclaiming the loving kindness of God, ministering the forgiving grace for salvation through the resurrection of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Regardless of people's personal opinions, Jesus will prevail for time and eternity because He's the only person in human history that's conquered death. We win because He won the greatest battle of all. Death, where is your victory? Thank you. I guess I say excuse me, not thank you. But the question is, have we come here today as a spectator? And perhaps maybe we can leave as a believer. The stone that was removed was not to let Jesus out, but to let them in. And I believe today God is rolling away some stones that are in front of some people's hearts. Rolling that stone away. Why? We need to see Jesus. When we see Jesus, He changes us. When we see the resurrected Jesus, the glorious Savior. This year has caused great heartache and caused many problems. I've noticed destructive behavior ruining people's lives. I've noticed that people want to be free from the bondage of sin. They want to leave a life of pride, of guilt, and of shame. And many people are hiding behind a protective wall. Why? Because of fear. When Jesus came, and in these short verses we see today, it's spoken about clearly not to be filled with fear. Even Jesus in the very end says, do not fear. And I like to address fear. We've known fear this year in a way we've never known before. I want to honestly speak to you as a pastor because the resurrection of Jesus Christ applies to victory over fear. Leaders and other people have created scenarios to make you fearful and to keep you in fear. It's purposeful. It's intentional. It's dark. It's demonic. And it's not of God. And the intention is to keep people suppressed because of fear. But I want you to know today that Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead has conquered that fear. Let me share with you. Fear has many faces, and to me, they are all very ugly. The face of fear is an intimidating stare. It will paralyze you. Fear is a powerful, controlling influence that creates an overwhelming anxieties and emotional imbalances. Because of the global pandemic of fear, many people are experiencing new pressures associated with personal fears that were never a part of their life. Let me just put some bullet points down. You fear your marriage will not survive the next traumatic event. You fear the loss of your business, your job, and your finances. You fear that you may never be able to find a relationship leading to marriage. You fear the truth about your cheating and lying might become known. You fear the big business deal may go to your competitor. You fear being ridiculed by your family about an important decision you want to make. You fear a life of isolation. You fear you're addicted. You fear the expectations from a dominating personality. You fear your children are involved with the wrong group. You fear the thought of failing again and never being able to recover. You fear all the uncertainty that you face each day. I want you to know that Jesus knows that. Jesus is aware of that. And Jesus is with you. And I thank God for His Word, because the Word of God addresses everything in life that we face. And God would want all of us to leave here as believers in Christ Jesus, but He wants to have us leave as not only as believers, but a sense of strength and victory over fear, that it no longer has a place to intimidate you and to work you over and to paralyze you and cause you anxieties and worries and other sorts of things. His resurrection has provided that victory for us today. So I'm praying that the strength from the resurrection of Jesus Christ will experience a victory over every single fear that we have. We're not only saved, but He also sustains us. We must let His resurrected victory be the victory over all of our fears. Let God's grace help us face the face of fear and declare, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Brothers and sisters, wait. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen? It's Easter Sunday. We're speaking about the resurrection of Christ. We sang worshipful songs. The kids all participated in that, a special worship song. I'm bringing forth the Word of God, talking about the greatness of our risen Savior for salvation, talking about His salvation and His resurrection provides victory over fear. And finally, there is a sense of joy. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I have reason to rejoice, and so do you. Let me just state a couple of things here. Jesus claimed to be God. He claimed to be Messiah. He claimed to be God in human flesh. Wonderful claim, written claim. It's in the Word of God. But because of His resurrection from the dead, I have great joy, because He not only made that claim, He fulfilled that claim. And because of His resurrection, I could always say to anyone, "I'm sorry, you're wrong. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He is alive. He's at the right hand of God. He died on the cross for your sins. He proved it from His resurrection from the dead. And you bring to me any other leader or movement of person or religious thing you're involved, first thing I'm going to ask, did He rise in bodily form from the dead and show Himself alive to the world?" That's Jesus. That's the only one. Because of His resurrection, I have great joy in the Lord. Because of His resurrection, then I wonder, but what about me? And what about my sins? And what about them actually being forgiven? And how can I be certain that I have eternal life? His resurrection is a cause for rejoicing, because it reveals that man can be justified before God just as if I've never sinned. We've been studying that in Romans. His righteousness was given to us, declared, imputed to us. And it's imputed to us because we believe in Him who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. And He was raised for our justification. Because He rose from the dead, we're justified. We believe God, we approach the throne of grace just as if we've never sinned. I'm so thankful too, because what about my life here on earth? How do I relate to God? And how does His resurrection help me relate to God? I want you to know, from this day forward, you relate to God one-on-one. You do not need any other person to relate to God for you. No other man, no other woman, no other person. You relate to God directly, personally, yourself. Why? Because the resurrection is cause for rejoicing. It's provided a high priest that sits at the right hand of God. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ. He's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Our high priest has told to us, Jesus, please come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in time of need. And lastly, how can we know with certainty that we'll spend eternity in heaven? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I have joy today. How does that relate? It is the guarantee of our future resurrection in heaven. How can I be certain that when I die today, I would go to heaven as a believer in Jesus Christ? Did Jesus Christ live on this earth a perfect life? Yes or no? Yes. Was He crucified on a cross? Yes or no? Yes. Did He die and was buried in a tomb? Yes? Yes. Did He rise from the dead? Yes. Is He alive today?
Yes.
Do you believe that wholeheartedly?
Yes.
Is He in heaven right now?
Yes.
Does He want you to spend eternity with Him in heaven?
Yes.
You guys, I'd be a great teacher. Just write, yes, 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 yes. The scriptures in 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus Christ will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us before the throne of God faultless. Amen? That gives you great joy today. Well, I'm going to have a concluding prayer here in just a minute. Maybe Hardy and the worship team can come up at this time. Maybe you have really never experienced real love. Maybe true love has been confused in your life because you've had multiple relationships. You don't really know what true love is. Maybe you've been running from God, but God has been running after you. That's why we're here. God seeks and saves us. God has placed us many times in the circumstances we're in today so that you and I will know today that I desperately need Jesus. And perhaps you have an unfulfilled longing in your heart. Your desire has been and continues to be loved unconditionally. No person can do that. Only one, Jesus Christ. Surrendering your life to Him will allow that stone to be moved and for Christ to pour forth a love you've never known before, a love that will never forsake you, an unconditional love. The world, through many other churches, have lied to people, misrepresented God. There's only two eternal destinations, heaven and hell. That's it. And the decision made on earth will determine where you spend all eternity. Anybody that has told you anything different, it's biblically untrue. It's a lie. You say, Pastor, I mean, a little bit hard on that. We're talking about eternity with God or without God. That's what we're talking about. And I have to stand before God and say, did I represent the heart of Jesus and the truth of the gospel to the people that He's entrusted to us? We can spend eternity with Christ and with all the followers for all eternity, or eternity away from the love of God and away from the love of all those who have gone before us in faith. The question is, are you ready and wanting to receive Jesus? Do you want to have all your sins forgiven? Do you want to know with certainty that you'll go to heaven when you die? Do you want to live your life with hope and with certainty? Do you want to be finished with the prodigal living? Do you want to receive power to walk away from the things that are destroying your life? That song we sang, we do. We do. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. If you've never accepted Christ in the gift of salvation, God loves you. If you have accepted that gift and you're a follower of Christ, but it's been very difficult for you for far too long, and you've troubled your heart with a lot of stuff, God loves you. God wants you and me to experience complete forgiveness for all of our sins. You're not too good for salvation, and you're not too bad for salvation. We're not too old and not too young. The Bible speaks of now, today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. The Bible helps us understand how does one have that relationship with God. How does one receive salvation? In Romans, it tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. At 25 years old, I didn't realize, but I was a whosoever that needed salvation. All of us are whosoevers, whosoever calls upon the Lord for salvation or for the strength and the power to live for Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, for those that are with us today, and Lord, you know our heart, our life, our situation, I want to just pray for any man or woman, boy or girl. Jesus, I ask your forgiveness for my sin. I've sinned against you, God. I repent. I want to turn from my sin and turn to you. I accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. By grace, you've been saved through faith. Not of yourself, it's a gift of God. I receive that gift now, and I thank you, and I call you now, Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. I proclaim your name as Lord and Savior of my life. And I pray, God, for any of our family and friends and people attending here or watching online. These have admittedly been difficult times, and it's challenged all of us in our spiritual life. And all of us have been tempted, and all of us, I'm sure, have strayed one way or another. We want to be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the things of the Lord. Forgive us. And for those, God, that are just overwhelmed with constant fear and uncertainty, pour out your Holy Spirit upon these dear believers. Fill them with your love right now. May they leave here with a sense of, God, you have this in control. I'm leaving it in your hands from this day forward. And fill us all with the joy of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.